sorry to not give you very much notice and be like, hey, I want to do the podcast now.
Yeah, no problem. I was just horking down a burrito bowl across the street at Whole Foods. It was quite good, but I rushed it.
Hey, nothing better than horking good food.
I was.
What does horking mean? Is that like, is that a real word or is that a Robism?
It's probably made up. I, you know, was going to just enjoy it, relish it, sit there for 20 minutes. And suddenly my wife texts me and says, be online in 6 minutes at your laptop, soldier. So I rushed back here.
Have you ever enjoyed a meal, like relished? Have you ever eaten slowly in your life?
Yes. Most meals, most dinners that you and I have when we're talking, and especially if we're out having amazing food with amazing wine, I actually do relish those. And you'll notice I eat a lot slower when I do that, because that's not, it's not like just to get nutrients into my body so I don't pass out.
It's not functional.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of lunches. I mean, that's why I don't drink Soylent very often, but when I do, it's because like I don't have the time or kind of the headspace right now. I'm in the middle of something, but I know that I'm going to go low blood sugar here in the next couple hours. And so that's what it is. But today I was making an exception, and then dun, dun, the podcast.
That, and because Soylent is made of people.
That's right.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
I thought for today's podcast, we would talk about marriage.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Yeah, so just like quick pop quiz, do you have a sense of why I would have selected this topic?
Because as of a couple days from now, you and I have been married for 17 years.
17 years is a pretty big number, kiddo.
Yeah, I know. Makes me start to feel like I'm old. How is it possible if I'm only 31 that we've been married for that long?
I'm not sure. I'm not that good at math. But we are reaching the tipping point, at least I am, where I will have been like married longer than not married.
Right. We've already known each other longer than having not known each other, but yeah, that tipping point, indeed.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. So I just jotted down a couple of questions that I thought we should discuss, and I'll just ask them as we go, since I gave you zero notice and you've not seen the outline, and that's just how it's happening today.
For sure.
So I guess the first question that I thought might be interesting to toss around is, how has marriage been a professional asset to you?
Yeah, well, I think both of us should answer all these questions, right? Because I think that...
Right, but I'm asking you now. So.
I see. So line up, soldier,
and
answer the
question. That's how that works.
Yes, ma'am. For me, it's been absolutely critical to my success, because it's the, there's at least a couple things that come right off the bat. One of them is like the support, the ability to kind of talk stuff through with a best friend who's always around, to sanity check decisions with someone who also has skin in the game. Like decisions like, should I buy Hittail? Should I pay tens of thousands of dollars for this app that you've never heard of? You know, should I start a new one? Should I sell this one? What does that look like? Do we need to make more money? Is it, what would that do to our life? You know, all these decisions where you could talk this through with a good friend, but they don't have the financial skin in the game like you and I share.
Yeah, I think that's an important piece. Like that, even though you're making decisions for your business, I'm throwing the full weight of my intellectual ability and whatever reasonable good sense I have into your success, because it directly benefits me and I like you. So that helps, but you definitely get more investment from your spouse or from your romantic partner than you do from a friend.
Yeah. And then the other thing that comes to mind, aside from it's like the sanity check, moral support, being able to talk stuff through, is like a sense of stability for me, especially in my personality type. Like I hated dating and the chaos of that whole thing through high school and college. And like, I'm very lucky to have found someone who challenges me and who also just is stable. Like we're not drama people, you know, we don't seek drama. And you've referenced this in the past, but like The Millionaire Next Door and The Millionaire Mind talk about how like the vast majority of people with a net worth above $1 million are married and have been married for decades. Like divorce often just decimates that. Being single, not that you couldn't become a millionaire if you didn't have a spouse, but the odds just based on the demographics that they looked at indicate that. And I understand why. It's like having shared responsibilities, shared decision-making, that you tend to make better decisions, having accountability beyond just being a single person. I mean, when you are out of town, you know, you went out of town for 5 days. I stay up too late. I mismanage some of my time. I don't pay attention to stuff as well as I should. I don't, you know, there's just a bunch of stuff that like, I feel like hopefully both of us make each other better people, but I know that when you're around, like I tend to be more productive. I tend to be more motivated. And so I think that's probably the second asset.
Yeah, those are good. So just to summarize the first one, you would say like shared decision making.
Yep.
And the second is?
It's a sense of stability and yeah, it's beyond stability. These both sound very boring, right? But it's like
they really do. But it's okay.
But the question is, how has it been a professional asset?
Yeah. I asked the question that way. It's okay. I know I'm more than stability to you.
Yeah. How about you? How would you answer
that? Yeah, I was gonna jump in on that. I think that our relationship has been a professional asset to me, in a lot of ways, but at a very, very basic level. I didn't come from an early life context where I had a lot of encouragement to do big things or take big risks. Or, you know, I think even from really early on in our relationship, you've been a voice that said, why don't you try that? Or, you know, you want to apply for a fellowship at Yale? Absolutely. We'll move across the country. Like, I think just good old fashioned, like believing in me and being really invested in me being successful and saying like, yes, you can do it, which, you know, again, sounds like a sort of childish way to be, but that didn't really exist in my childhood. So I think for you to come along in my life and say that consistently over and over and sort of put our mutual assets and time and energy behind your belief in my professional success has been really important to me.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I actually feel, as you were saying that, I was thinking about, you know, how you were the voice when we lived in the Bay Area of, hey, why don't you look for a job, you know, up in Sacramento coding and let's make a change. You're the voice of change in the relationship, and that change is typically for the better, even if it's something I never would have thought of or never would have wanted to dive into. So I think that's another element that you bring.
Yeah, I think also now as we've been working together a little bit more and I'm crowding in on your space in the entrepreneurial world a little bit, you know, there's just been so many practical benefits to partnering in that your network in this community is bigger than mine, but we are sort of bringing our networks together and bringing our experiences together. So just in terms of like practical, who knows who can help get this thing done. Man, two is better than one in terms of like getting professional things accomplished. So related to, I guess, my last statement, you know, in the last couple of years, we have been working together a little bit more, definitely on the podcast and doing some, you know, conferences together. Our work lives are still fairly separate, but I guess I'm curious what it's been like for you to work with me and like what are the sort of the challenges and benefits of working together with your wife?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the benefits have been that we tend to think pretty differently about similar topics. I'm left-brained and structured about it and kind of driven towards a goal or like, let's make a list of all the things and then let's do these things and let's, you know, whatever it is. I mean, I look at it as a, you know, almost 20 years into a career as a software developer, project manager, product lead, founder. So it's all been like structured driving and execution and just all the stuff that we've talked about. And you come at it from much more of a creative way of thinking about it and not getting like all the stuff in a list, but like getting all the options out there and thinking about a really creative way of like, do we even need to do these things? Or is there an alternative? Or how about this crazy idea of calling this person and eliminating these four steps? And I'm always like, well, that's not even possible, you know, but it is. And so we come at it from two different, like I'm the structured implementer and you're like the idea person. I'm not saying you don't execute just because you're an idea person, but you come up with, you know, so many of the good, kind of the out of the box, you know, not straight ahead thinking creative solutions to stuff.
I think that's a real strength of our partnership both in our personal lives and in our professional lives, but also comes with some challenges because we do often work hard to translate the ways that we think to each other. And I know that I can be a little bit defensive about my way of thinking or being in the world. And I think you're the person that I am least welcoming of criticism from. That, you know, I can take feedback from lots of different sources and often ask for feedback about, you know, a talk that I've given or something that I've done that's public. But feedback from you is trickier for me. I generally just want you to say good job and mean it, which is not that effective in a collaborative working relationship. I can totally acknowledge that.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that might be the biggest challenge is probably feedback both ways is just taken differently than it is from anyone else. It's just like, you know, our two kids were at the indoor trampoline park the other day, and they're playing dodgeball and everybody's bouncing and there's 15 people in there just pelting each other with balls, pelting. I mean, our oldest got hit so hard, like his glasses fly off and he face plants and he gets up and they're throwing. And then one of our sons hits the other son and that kid comes out screaming, he hit me. And it's like that didn't even hurt. That was not even as hard as the other, you know, and it's this something about siblings or blood or there's baggage, whatever there is, there's like complexity to very deep relationships like this. And so as you're saying, like we with external parties, they could say something to us and you could either shake it off, you dismiss it, or you say, oh, that's a good piece of feedback. Whereas when it's us, it's like you get insulted, you know, not you, like either one of us, you know, that the person getting the feedback, it can easily evolve into that.
Yeah, I feel like constructive criticism is hard in marriage, at least for us. Maybe that's not true of other people. Like neutrally applied constructive criticism.
Right. I would guess it's hard for everyone. I mean, because it's like, I don't know, there's just over time you develop stuff that you know all the ins and outs of your partner, and you probably criticize them about like everyday life more than anyone else just by the nature of your relationship, right? You say, hey, you're not doing this right. Even if you do it kindly or whatever, over the course of 10 years, 15 years, that's going to happen. And so I think that then when you get to work on a project of let's write a talk together, let's build a website together, let's write a book, whatever, then when you start giving criticism on that, it probably harkens back to like all these other personal things, you know, where personal stuff can be more hurtful. Whereas if one of us is critiquing the others, you know, way they recorded the podcast or the way we outline the podcast or the way we're writing the book, we really are criticizing or critiquing the work, right? But I think you can take it personally because so much of the discussion, so much of the time is about our relationship.
Yeah. And I think when you have two people in a partnership who are both motivated and have pretty well-developed identities, so much of the balance of our relationship is togetherness and separateness. And so we're always jockeying a little bit for space, like for our own personal space to either think our own thoughts or do our own things, or space for our professional endeavors. And it's not a contentious jockeying, but I feel like I'm always trying to explain, like, this is the way I want to do it, and this is why, and this is the sort of space or time or resources I need for this thing that I want to work on, and this is why. And I think those like meta conversations can come out in these very small, like, I prefer bullet points, you prefer numbered lists, or I format the outline this way and you do it that way. But there's like a very, very deep conversation under that sometimes sort of erupts to the surface when we're working together.
Yeah, I think both of us probably are well served by the fact that like the bulk of our work is done separately or individually, even if it's partnering up with other people, but that we do get to share some of it, right? Like the examples I gave, I mean, I'd imagine we haven't done a talk together yet, but I think that's probably coming. I think that would be really fun for you and I to craft a talk together. We obviously outline a podcast every week, and we've talked about working on the Zen Founder book, you obviously as the lead and me as an editor or second author or some type of commenter. I think there are opportunities for us to work together in a way that doesn't require us every day to be, you know, sitting next to each other and kind of working through all of that stuff.
Yeah, I think we have really, really productive working relationships with other people. And then the overlap in the Venn diagram is minimal, and that's a good thing. It makes it fun when we do get to work together. Next question. Now that you're 17 years into marriage, 20 plus years into a, you know, a long-term relationship. What ingredients do you think have been most important in cultivating a successful relationship to date?
You know, I think the willingness to change, the willingness, because both of us are so, so different than when we met. And we, I think, both made the decision, and we've just changed dramatically from college students to professionals to PhD student to consultant to product, whatever I was, micropreneur to running a company to us moving. We've lived in, I think, 8 or 9 cities together. And all of that stuff just means that you both change so dramatically, different sets of friends, different relationships with our extended families. But each of us, whether consciously or unconsciously, decided at some point that we were going to change for the other, right? That we were going to, as the other person was changing, we picked up on that and we're like, okay, I'm going to go in that direction with you, even if this is hard. Now, it hasn't always happened that way, right? The year in New Haven in 2007 was a year I think we were changing differently and weren't willing to kind of, I don't know if sacrifice is the right word, but we were both just not getting what we needed. And there have certainly been other times like that. But I think that willingness to kind of respect the other person and that if they want or need a change, to kind of go with that, I guess.
I'm kind of surprised you said that, since you generally dislike change so much. But I agree with you. I think, I don't know if change is even the right word, but like maturing, I guess that it's all a synonym. But yeah, I think it's been especially important because we did come into each other's lives when we were so young that a lot of change was inevitable. I mean, you've got to change from when you're 21 to when you're 40, hopefully. I think that has been really important in our relationship.
How about you? What would you say are some important ingredients?
I think I have found it to be really satisfying when I really feel like we're partners in something. So especially, I think, raising the kids together and really feeling like we're both all in and we can really depend on each other. Parenting definitely has been one of the harder things that we've done in our marriage. And I think that knowing that you have my back when I'm losing my temper, or I have your back when you're out of ideas to calm down our like raging 6-year-old, I guess it's that sense of like dependability and also just always believing that you're there for me and I'm there for you. Like we are a team. I think it has been really important.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's, you know, maybe my diatribe about change is kind of summarized by what you just said. Maybe it's not change. Maybe it's just, I have your back. You know, it's agreeing that we're on the same team and that we're going to sometimes flex for the other and that we're going to kind of be there to support the other person. Because that's the thing, is when you feel like, you know, the rest of the world's falling apart around you, you need to be able to rely on someone. And given that our relationships with friends, how much we've moved, with how far away we live from family and how those relationships change over the years, that's kind of like you and I have each other. We definitely have other people, but it's like you and I have each other. That's the backstop.
Yeah, there's no other safety net. There's no other people really, like not really. So we've become that for each other over all this time. I remember too, when my friends, my college friends, they were throwing me a bachelorette party and they interviewed us and asked us different questions. And many of them were silly and profane. But one of the questions that they asked was, they asked me and they asked you separately, what is your favorite thing about your relationship? Something like that. And we both had the same answer. Do you remember what it was?
Fun.
Yep. And I think that's like another like relationship superpower, is figuring out how to have fun together and what that means as you change from being 21 to 40.
Yeah, I think when we go through weeks or months of not having fun together, you kind of forget. And not just us, any relationship or married couple, right? It's like if you don't have those good times to solidify your bond and to fall back on. And same thing with kids. If your kids you're just having a tough time with them for months and months, you just don't have it to fall back on. And it, like, there's only so much in the bank, you know, and each painful encounter is like this withdrawal from that. And you want to keep that full of good memories and like keep the relationship healthy through that. I think fun is secondary to what you said of like, we're on the same team. I have your back and I'm willing to, you know, change with you. But I think if without fun, I think it would also fall apart. You know, there's no one thing here. And that's why you phrased the question about ingredients that make a successful marriage, because there are obviously multiple. But I think that having these amazing memories of going to Europe and going to Cancun in the winter and whatever, shoveling snow and being out on paddle boards. I mean, these are the memories that they just don't go away, right? This is what builds lifelong bonds.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I'm reflecting on at being like 17 years into this, is that it's a long story at this point. Like, there are lots of trips we could talk about, lots of times where we stayed up all night painting a wall for some weird reason, or, you know, just so many stories that go into making a life together. And then the practice of like telling those stories and telling those stories for our kids and inviting other people into those stories. And it's just neat to see how we've come from like really kids meeting in college to retaining that playfulness and the lightness, but also with this like really, really very serious, very mature commitment to making a life together, a life that's good for both of us. So yeah, here's to another 17 years.
I hope you'll stick around for it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.